ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। We are reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 4, text 4. Chapter is entitled Transcendental Knowledge.
Arjuna uvacha
aparam bhavato janma,
aparam bhavato janma,
param janma vivasvataha,
कथमेतद्विजानीयाम्।
तमादौ प्रोक्तवानिति। Arjuna said, the sun god Vivasvan is senior by birth to you. How am I to understand that in the beginning you instructed this science to him? Purport: Arjuna is an accepted devotee of the Lord, so how could he not believe Krishna's words? The fact is that Arjuna is not inquiring for himself, but for those who do not believe in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or for the demons who do not like the idea that Krishna should be accepted as a Supreme Personality of Godhead. For them, only Arjuna inquires on this point as if he himself were not aware of the Personality of Godhead or Krishna. As it will be evident from 10th chapter, Arjuna knew perfectly well that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the fountainhead of everything, and the last word in transcendence. Of course, Krishna also appeared as the son of Devaki on this earth. How Krishna remained the same Supreme Personality of Godhead, the eternal original person, is very difficult for an ordinary man to understand. Therefore, to clarify this point, Arjuna put this question before Krishna so that he himself could speak authoritatively. That Krishna is the supreme authority is accepted by the whole world, not only at present but from time immemorial, and the demons alone reject him. Anyway, since Krishna is the authority accepted by all, Arjuna put this question before him in order that Krishna would describe himself without being depicted by demons who always try to distort him in a way understandable to the demons and their followers. It is necessary that everyone, for his own interests, know the science of Krishna. Therefore, when Krishna himself speaks about himself, it is auspicious for all the worlds. To the demons, such explanations by Krishna himself may appear to be strange, because the demons always study Krishna from their own standpoint. But those who are devotees heartily welcome the statements of Krishna when they are spoken by Krishna himself. The devotees will always worship such authoritative statements of Krishna because they are always eager to know more and more about him. The atheists who consider Krishna an ordinary man may in this way come to know that Krishna is superhuman, that he is Sachidananda Vigraha, the eternal form of bliss and knowledge, that he is transcendental, and that he is above the domination of the modes of material nature and above the influence of time and space. A devotee of Krishna like Arjun is undoubtedly above any misunderstanding of the transcendental position of Krishna. Arjuna's putting this question before the Lord is simply an attempt by the devotee to defy the atheistic attitude of persons who consider Krishna to be an ordinary human being subject to the modes of material nature. So, Hare Krishna. At the outset, I would like to welcome everyone to this evening's Bhagavad Gita class on this very auspicious day of the appearance of Srimati Sita Devi, the consort of Prabhu Ramchandra, Maryada Purushottam Ram. So to be able to speak a few words on a spiritual topic is indeed a rare privilege. So I am indeed grateful for this opportunity. So the verse that we have just now recited is actually a question that has been posed to the Supreme Lord Krishna by Arjuna. We find that spiritual knowledge is always transmitted through this approach. A question is asked and spiritual knowledge is passed on. Prabhupada, in one of his very beautiful purports in Srimad Bhagavatam, says that The whole world is full of questions and answers. The birds, the beasts, and men are all busy in the matter of perpetual questions and answers. In the morning, the birds become busy in their nests and with questions and answers. And in the evening also, the same birds come back and again become busy with questions and answers. The human being, unless he is fast asleep at night, he is also busy with questions and answers. The businessmen in the market are busy with questions and answers. And also the lawyers in the court and the students in schools and colleges. The members of the parliament, the members of the legislative assemblies, students in schools, colleges, practically everyone, all the time they're asking questions and seeking answers. This is how it is. I had a lawyer friend. Once I asked him, what type of questions do you ask in the witness box? He said, I ask leading questions. So I asked him a question. What is a leading question? He said, a leading question is a question which actually traps the witness. Whichever way the witness answers, he's trapped. I said, I don't understand this. You give me an example. Then he quoted an example. He said, if I ask a question, please think about it. Have you stopped beating your wife? Have you stopped beating your wife? This is not a question posed to brahmacharis, please, but to the grahasthas. Have you stopped beating your wife? Now, if the witness were to answer, yes, I have stopped, that means you know, you are beating earlier. And if he says, no, that means you know, you are still beating your wife. So this is a leading question. This way, we find questions are always asked, addressed. Recently, when there were these attacks, every day in the Times of India, the newspapers, a series of questions were being posed to the government. Why this has happened? What is this? This, that? Every day questions are posed. Recently, there are elections, questions were being posed. So this is a normal practice in this material world. Questions are always asked. In the Science of Realization, in that article entitled The Art of Dying, Srila Prabhupada talks about, again, the same topic, questions. He says that a small child walking with his father goes on inquiring constantly. He asks his father so many odd questions and the father has to satisfy him with proper answers. Now, the father may be a managing director or a president of a company, but if he cannot specify, you know, answer the child properly, the child's opinion of, you know, is very, very low. He thinks, you may be anybody in the office, but here, you know, you're not answering my question. So the father has to struggle to answer the question. And Srila Prabhupada gives a very beautiful example from his own life, from his own grahasthashram life. He said that when I was a young father in my householder life, I was overflooded with hundreds of questions from my second son, who was my constant companion. And then he gives an example. He says that one day it so happened that a bridegroom's party, they were traveling in a tram car. In Calcutta, there are tram cars. Even still, today also there are. Was traveling that, and a marriage procession was, you know, also going side by side, the tram car. So, it's a very big procession. And this four-year-old boy was curious to know, what is this procession all about? Where are they going? So, he asked thousands of questions to Srila Prabhupada, Abhay Charan Day at that time. So many questions he asked, one after other. And to the best of ability, questions were answered also. And then, finally, one question he asked to his father. No, are you married, father? So this question, when was asked to Abhay Charan Day, you know, there was huge laughter in the tram car. Everybody, you know, was laughing, isn't it? But Prabhupada says that there's a lesson to be learned from this incident, that a human being is a rational animal and is born to make inquiries. He will keep on making so many inquiries. The greater the number of questions, the greater the advancement of knowledge. To a large extent, it is true, the growth of material science is due to a questioning attitude on the part of the student or the researchers. If no questions are asked, no answers would be found, no inventions would be there. It is true to a large extent. But this is all about material civilization. But the most intelligent person, however, Prabhupada says, asks questions of a spiritual nature. He is not interested in material, you know, ground realities. He is interested in spiritual things. And a very intelligent person like Arjuna, he will ask questions which relate to world's welfare. He is not just interested in his own welfare, as has been made clear in the purport by Srila Prabhupada. The question that he is asking is not really asking for himself. He is asking actually to satisfy demoniac, you know, questioning attitude. He knows that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but nevertheless he is asking this question. So, Prabhupada says that any question that pertains to Krishna is spiritual and is for the welfare of the entire world. Now, when the sages of Naimisharanya, headed by Shaunaka Muni, they asked Suta Goswami, you know, some questions about Krishna. So, what did the Suta Goswami reply? He said, Munaya sadhu prushtoham bhavad biloka mangalam yatkrita krishna samprashno yenatma suprasidati. So, Suta Goswami told the sages of Naimisharanya, O sages, I have been justly questioned by you. Your questions are worthy because they relate to Lord Krishna and so are of relevance to the world's welfare. Only questions of this sort are capable of completely satisfying the self. Yena atma suprasidati. So this is a spiritual question which Arjuna has inquired, and it falls into this category, loka mangala type of question. Krishna samprashna is for loka mangala, for welfare of humanity. So why is it so? As Prabhupada very beautifully clarifies, he says that by asking this question, he is inducing Krishna, the Supreme Lord, to talk about himself. So Prabhupada says very beautifully that when Krishna himself speaks about himself, it is auspicious for all the worlds. So therefore this question falls into the category of auspicious questions. And the answer that is given by the Lord is in verse, the next verse, which is not written here, but I will read it.
Shri Bhagavan uvacha bahuni me vyatitani janmani tavacha Arjuna tanyam veda sarvani natvam vetha parantapa.
The personality of God had said, many, many births both you and I have passed. I can remember all of them, but you cannot, O subduer of enemy. So Krishna is answering the question that Arjuna has asked. So let us try and understand, why is it that this question has come into the mind of Arjuna? For that, we should go through the earlier verses in this chapter. We must understand why Arjuna is asking a question. So Arjuna, Krishna, in the very beginning of this chapter says, Imam vivasvate yogam proktavan aham avyayam vivasvan manave praha manu ikshvakave abravit. So Krishna tells Arjuna that he instructed the sun god Vivasvan in the ancient science of relationship with the Supreme. And then again he says that this knowledge was passed on in parampara. Evam parampara praptam imam rajasyayo viduhu sakalena ihamata yoga nashta parantapa. So these two verses, actually conclusion that one can draw from them is that science of Krishna is eternal. It was spoken to sun god Vivasvan millions of years ago. That science of Krishna or Krishna consciousness has come down to us in parampara. That is the second conclusion we can draw. And the third conclusion which we can draw from these two verses is that Krishna as Kala is very, very powerful. Even this powerful science of Krishna was interrupted by Kala. Kalena mahata yoga nashtaha parantapa. So these three conclusions can be drawn. And actually, Arjuna has no quarrel with these two verses. He accepted these two verses. But he has quarrel with the verse that we read now. He says that the third verse, sa eva ayam mayate adya yoga proktaha puratana. In the third verse, the preceding verse to this verse, he says that very ancient science of relationship with the Supreme is today told by me to you. Now this is what is bewildering Arjun. So Arjun is put in a state of bewilderment, and he says, very logically, says, aparam bhavataha janma, param janma vivasvataha. He says that, Krishna, the sun god Vivasvan is senior to you by birth. And how then could you have spoken to sun god millions and millions of years ago? So this is a very valid question. Now, is Krishna, when he says that I spoke this yoga, I spoke this science to Vivasvan millions of years ago, is Krishna making an exaggerated statement? Answer is no. Krishna is Param Satya. He is the absolute truth. He is not making an exaggerated statement at all. Then, does it mean that Arjuna has no faith in Krishna's words? Answer to that also is no. Arjuna has implicit faith in Krishna's words, as we will discuss in the next few minutes. So, why is Arjuna the chosen one to receive this revived knowledge of science of Krishna? The knowledge is being revived. The chain, disciplic succession chain, was broken. And now Krishna says, I am reviving the same knowledge. Only Krishna can do this. Dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranitaha. Any Tom, Dick and Harry cannot revive science of Krishna. It's Krishna only. His powerful influence, as Kala has interpreted it, now he puts it back into action, into circulation, so that today we can receive Krishna consciousness. Puts it back into Bhagavad Gita by giving this knowledge to Arjuna. So why is Arjuna the chosen one? So even before the battle of Kurukshetra, Krishna was, all the Pandavas, but especially Arjuna, was very close to Krishna. Arjuna and Krishna were very, very dear friends. It is described later on also in the Bhagavad Gita that they sat together, they ate together, and Arjuna never ever thought of Krishna as the supreme personality of Godhead. So it is with that confidence that Arjuna orders Krishna. Senayor ubhayor madhye ratham sthapa. He tells Krishna, take my chariot and place it in between the warring armies. So he is ordering Krishna because of this friendship. He had not accepted him as a supreme personality of Godhead. And he takes it between the two armies. And after going there, Arjuna sees all his near and dear ones, his relatives, his teachers, his kith and kin, and all his bravado in a moment is lost. Of course, this also is due to Krishna's planning, but nevertheless, he just breaks down. He has got kind of a nervous breakdown, as they say. These days, many people have it, nervous breakdowns. Then you become unconscious, and then it is as though, you're going to give up your life, something kind of that kind of situation. Mentally, you are completely out. So nervous breakdown means your nerves and your mental nerves just break down. Anyway, Arjuna went through that experience, and he started arguing with Krishna. We won't go into the details. They have been discussed before perhaps. And Lord very patiently listens to all the arguments that Arjuna makes. But until such time as Arjuna does not surrender to Krishna, he keeps on hearing whatever Arjuna has to say. All right, whatever you want to say, you say. But once Arjuna surrenders and makes a statement, yashrehasyat nishchitam bruhitanme shishyasteham shadi mam tvam prapannam. Please tell me what is best for me now that I am your disciple and a soul surrender unto you. That is the stage at which Krishna starts preaching the science of Krishna to Arjun. Slowly and steadily through the third chapter, he talks about karma and other things, the effect of karma. And he gives him that science of the soul which uplifts him and inspires him to take up fight on the battlefield. So Lord tells so many things to Arjuna. But when in the process of giving knowledge to Arjuna, Krishna says that I had given this knowledge to Vivaswan also. Arjuna is baffled. Up to this point, yes, his spiritual master is giving knowledge. And he has accepted everything. But then Krishna also says, Tadviddhi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshantite jnanam jnanina tattva darshina. So asking question is very bona fide. So Arjuna is asking this question. He says that, why is he asking this question? Because Arjuna has not yet reached that stage which he reaches, described in the 18th chapter, Nashtomoha Smritir Labdhva Tvat Prasadat Achyuta. He has not reached that stage yet. He has yet to reach that stage. So therefore, there is modicum of illusion in his consciousness. And therefore, he is asking this kind of questions. In fact, he is thinking that Krishna and Arjuna, both of us are about the same age. It is said that during Mahabharata war, Krishna was 125 years old, but he was Navayavana, looking handsome youth, even at that age. So Arjuna is thinking, we are contemporaries. So how could he have, instructed, sun god millions and millions of years ago? So the question is very, very legitimate, very, very rational. And therefore, in reply, Krishna says, Bahuni me gatitani janmani. He tells that many, many births both you and I have passed. I can remember all of them, but you cannot, O subduer of enemy. So, we understand, therefore, that both the Supreme Lord and Arjuna, who is a living entity, part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, Aumshataha, has got the same attributes qualitatively but not quantitatively. So, both of them, Krishna says that Bahuni me janmani, both of us have passed through so many births. But unfortunately, Arjuna, I remember all of them, but you do not remember any. What Krishna is implying is that with all your bravery, with all your archery, you are not remembering, what you were in your past birth. But I remember all this. So this is very beautifully explained by Prabhupada in his purport to this. So Prabhupada quotes this Brahma Samhita shloka. Advaita machyuta manadi manantarupam adhyam purana purusham navayavanam cha vedeshu durlabham adurlabham atma bhakto govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. So Krishna, it is mentioned, Brahmaji is saying that I worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Govinda, Krishna, who is the original person, absolute, infallible, without beginning. Although I expanded into unlimited form, he is still the same original. Same original, the oldest, and the person always appearing as a fresh youth. Such eternal, blissful, all-knowing forms of the Lord are usually understood by the best Vedic scholars, but they are always manifest to pure, unalloyed devotees. So Krishna is saying that my unalloyed devotees have no difficulty in understanding that I incarnate again and again. Sambhavami yuge yuge. They have no difficulty in understanding this concept at all. But others, demoniac people, they cannot understand this. Those who have that kind of nature, they do not understand it. So what is being implied by the Lord here is that I have been incarnating, I have been taking births, and actually Arjun, alongside, you were also there with me at that point in time. And this is okay, this is right, this is bona fide, because in Mahabharata, there is a description of, Naranarayana. Naranarayana are originally Krishna and Arjuna. So Arjuna has been there as his associate through so many, pastimes of the Lord, but Arjuna doesn't remember. But Krishna remembers all of them. So, Krishna is telling that I have spoken this Bhagavad Gita to Sun God millions of years ago. And because of this unfortunate fact that you don't remember your past birth, you have forgotten the science, of the soul, which now I am again giving to you. Mercifully I am giving to you. So what is the difference between part and parcel living entity and Supreme Lord Krishna? Why doesn't a part and parcel remember his past births? And why does the Supreme Lord remember? The answer to this is provided by Srila Prabhupada in his purport. He says that a living entity forgets everything due to change of his body. Body is made up of material elements, bhumi, rapa, anulo, vayu. So once the body is destroyed, everything connected with that also goes. Nothing remains, including the mind and everything. Everything is lost. So whatever has happened is not remembered. Whereas, in case of Supreme Lord, when he incarnates, whatever body or whatever species of life he decides to incarnate, he is always Satchidananda Vigraha. Ishwaraha Paramakrishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anadiradir Govinda Sarvakarana Karanam. So whether he is, appears as Matsya or whether he is Kurma, Varaha, Narasimha Dev, I think on Friday we are celebrating Narasimha Chaturdashi, or Maryada Purushottam Ram, or Purna Purushottam Krishna, or Udar Purushottam Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, whatever. Through all this, because the body is transcendental, he remembers everything. Everything originates from him. Aham sarvasya prabho matta sarvam pravartate. So everything emanates from the Supreme Lord. So therefore, everything is within him. So there is no such thing, you know, that he is remembering the past and not remembering the present. Nothing. He remembers past, present and future. He knows what is going to happen. That is Krishna. Therefore, he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And why is there so much bewilderment when Krishna appears as a human being, especially? Or, you know, he appears as Prabhu Ramchandra. He plays the role of a human being so perfectly that people are bewildered. His role, you know, is perfect. Whether, you know, he is as a baby Krishna, you know, or whatever. He will do activities which are very, very understood by common people. But yet, he is transcendental. That is the most important factor. So today is Sita Devi's appearance day. So we'll try and see how, that is the theme also of the, I think, present verse, that although Krishna appears to be just like an ordinary human being, he always remains the supreme absolute truth, the Lord of all that is. So this is the actually central theme of today's verse and some verses that will come again, which will be discussed subsequently. So when the Lord appears as a human being, he does so many astounding activities which people cannot really relate to. What to think of ordinary people, even, you know, exalted beings do not relate to. So today we'll talk a little bit about a pastime, about, actually not about Mother Sita, but about Prabhu Ramchandra. So when Sita Devi was kidnapped by Ravana, was kidnapped, and taken away to Lanka, and at that point in time, Ramchandra, Lord Lakshmana, they did not know where she had been taken. And Ramayana describes that Prabhu Ramchandra was lamenting. He was lamenting, calling out, you know, calling out to the trees, calling out to the creepers, calling out to the stones, addressing, you know, demigods, saying that, Where have you gone, Sita? Where have you gone? Who has taken you? You know, he was addressing like a common man, he was lamenting. So, Mother Parvati, she heard this. She addressed Lord Shiva. He said that you are worshipping this Lord Ram. And, you know, look at him, you know, he's lamenting like this. Shivji told him, you know, he told him, it is his Leela. But Parvati would not accept. It is his Leela, he is lamenting like an ordinary person. So she said, you know, I want to verify. I want to test Ram. So what did she do? Now, look at this situation. Prabhu Ramchandra is lamenting and wanting to find Sita Devi. And here, Parvati goes, manifests herself in Sita Devi's form before Prabhu Ramchandra. Now, immediately, Prabhu Ramchandra gives up his lamentation, offers his, you know, pranams to Parvati Devi, and says, Mother Parvati, what has brought you here? Parvati, you know, is crestfallen. She understands that, you know, she is totally in the wrong. That means, He is lamenting like an ordinary human being, but he is not an ordinary human being. At any point in time, he is God. He is absolute truth. He is God. Though he is carrying out actions like any other ordinary human being. So therefore, this is the message which this verse wants to give to humanity. Just because, you know, avajananti mamuda manushitanu mashrita, don't, you know, judge the Supreme Personality of Godhead because, you know, he has assumed human form. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whatever he does. It's not that he is Supreme Personality of Godhead as, you know, as baby Krishna, or that he ceased to be, you know, Supreme Personality of Godhead, you know, when he became, you know, Dwarkadhish. No, he is Supreme Lord at all times. So this is the essential cardinal principle that is being conveyed through this verse. So this is one pastime. Then there is, in Chaitanya Leela, most of you are familiar with this pastime, so I'll narrate it very briefly. There is this wonderful pastime of a Brahmana coming into the house of Jagannath Mishra and Shachi Mata. So Brahmana comes, you know, he is a devotee of Gopal. He always carries Gopalji with him. And his routine is that he does madhukari, gets some, you know, alms, and then, you know, cooks bhoga, offers it to Gopal, and then he honors that. That is his daily routine. So he comes very tired and fatigued to Jagannath Mishra's house. It's pretty late in the evening. And then he says that then Jagannath Mishra and, you know, they are delighted being ideal household. They said, come. So we will, you know, give you all the facilities. The kitchen is yours. We'll clean it up and give you. So you please cook whatever you want. All the ingredients are given there. So the Brahmana cooks everything wonderfully well, and then everything is ready. And then he puts it in a plate to offer it to his Gopal. And just when the plate is put before Gopal and, you know, he is chanting his prayers, Namo Brahmanya Devaya, child Nimai, beautiful child Nimai, dressed in all directions, as Radhanath Maharaj says, it means not wearing any clothes, he comes there and stands there, and whatever is offered to Krishna, he takes, grabs it, puts in his mouth. The Brahmana is in great distress. He says, what has happened? It seems that I am not destined to eat today. So immediately Jagannath Mishra and all, they come, he says, what happened? No, this child, you know, has actually eaten this bhoga, so now it can't be offered. So I can't. It seems that I am destined to fast today. So you get me some fruit or something, you know, I'll satisfy my hunger. That is the end of it. But Jagannath Mishra and Shachi Mata say, no. This won't do. You have to, you know, have a proper, you know, prasad. So don't worry. It has happened once, but it will not happen again. So they try to, you know, and of course, Jagannath Mishra wants to chastise Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The Brahmana says, what does he know? Innocent little child. He has done it unknowingly. Forgive him. So again everything is arranged. Goes through the same experience. Second time also, this child Nimai comes there, and just when the boga is offering, he grabs it and eats it. It happens second time. And third time, he's actually, you know, kept into a room, in a neighbor's room. So that, you know, he'll create no mischief. But the same thing happens. And then Brahmana says, forget it. Today I'm not destined to have, you know, any prasad. I'll just, you know, eat some prasad. Just then, you know, Nimai's elder brother Vishwaroop comes. It's pretty late in the night. He comes there and he persuades him, please, O Brahmana, if you go away unsatisfied, you know, we will be very miserable. So please, for our sake, once again go through this experiment. So once again he goes through the experiment. Everything is arranged. Bhoga is arranged in a plate. And just then, Nimai once again appears. How he appears is a wonderful thing. He appears there and he grabs that bhoga and starts eating it. So again he opens his eyes and what has happened? But this time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that Lord Nimai at that point in time, he says that, oh Brahmana, I don't understand what you are doing. You time and again petition me, you call me. You say, no Brahmana Devaya, and you offer this bhoga to me. And when I actually take it, you make a hue and cry. What is this? And then he reveals his beautiful transcendental form to that Brahmana. Brahmana falls unconscious. He is in ecstasy. Then he gets up. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tells him that the same pastime took place when, you know, I was at Nanda Maharaj's, you know, palace in Krishna Lila.
Same thing. You are also the same Brahmana. At that time also you went through the same kind of an experience. Now also you are doing the same thing. Again and again, you know, you are going through the same thing. What does this pastime reveal to us? That, yes, when lords, you know, dear devotees, they also are there. Whenever he wants to perform pastimes with them, they are also born alongside. But unfortunately, though they are part and parcel of the Supreme, they do not remember. So this is all there is to it. So this way, we find that the absolute truth, when manifests himself, you know, in the human form also, as Ram or whatever, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna appears as a human being, he'll perform so many wonderful pastimes, but we should not be misled into thinking that he's an ordinary human being. Then we are undone. We are really undone. And then there is that beautiful episode again in Chaitanya Leela of Murari Gupta. I'll be very brief. In that, Lord Chaitanya tells Murari Gupta, he says that you go home and start chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra from now onwards. Chant Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Murari Gupta says, yeah, I will do that. So he goes home and makes a very, very sincere effort to chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra. But try as he might, he's not able to do it. He's miserable. He's not able to sleep. He says that, I have been given these instructions by Lord Chaitanya and I am not able to execute. So he goes next day to Lord Chaitanya looking miserable, distraught with misery. So he says, what? Lord Chaitanya says, what happened to you? He says that, you know, now the only course left to me is to give up my body. Because you had given me instructions to chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra and I have not been able to do it. So I have disobeyed you. So there is no other recourse left to me except to, save and except to, no, commit suicide. So at that time, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tells Murari Gupta, he tells him, don't, what you have done is wonderful. He says, Murari Gupta, you are Hanuman. You are Hanuman in a past birth. And therefore, it is not surprising that when you want to chant Hare Krishna, you chant the holy names of Prabhu Ramchandra. So it is not at all surprising. Don't be sad because of that. Because you are Hanuman. So what you are doing is glorious. What you are doing is absolutely glorious. So have, you know, no regrets whatsoever. So the sum and substance is that the Supreme Lord remembers everything because he is the Supreme Lord. And we living entities do not remember things. So actually in the Bhagavad Gita in the 15th chapter, in the 15th verse, there is that beautiful verse. Sarvasya chaham rudhi sannivishto matta smruti jnanam apavanam cha vedeshcha sarver ahameva vedyo vedantakrut vedavita chaham. So Krishna as Paramatma is the giver of remembrance. He is also bestows upon us forgetfulness. He is the giver of all knowledge. He is there within our heart and he is overseeing everything. Upadrushta Anumanta, Bhagavad Gita says. So, he is seeing everything. There is nothing that is hidden from Paramatma. We may think that, you know, we are doing something slyly, we are hiding ourselves in a corner and doing something. Krishna is not seeing. Krishna sees everything. As Paramatma, he is there with you. He is the closest to you. So, he sees everything. So, he gives us remembrance and he gives us also forgetfulness. Now, both these are benedictions. But he gives us in a way that we can sustain these two things. If Krishna were to give us remembrance of our past births, we would be miserable. Assume, you know, that you were a wild lion or a wild tiger in your past birth and you remember all your exploits. Absolutely miserable. Or that, you know, you have murdered somebody. Or that memory is going to make you miserable. So Krishna doesn't give you that kind of memory. He says, well, forget it. Of course, in exceptional cases, as we read in Srimad Bhagavatam, he gave memory to, you know, Bharat Maharaj, to remember his past life so that he could proceed ahead, you know, in his spiritual path. Exceptional cases. But by and large, ordinary people like us, he doesn't give us that kind of memory. But he does give us memory also. How? Every day when we sleep, go to sleep. Assume you get up. When you get up, if you start, you get up thinking that, you know, you are the president of United States. Now, if I get up tomorrow morning thinking my president of United States is not Vishwanu Das, what is my lot? For some time I will be tolerated. And the next thing is, you know, visit to a psychiatrist, and perhaps the psychiatrist cannot cure, visit to mental asylum. So Krishna gives us memory, but he gives us what we require to remember. So he gives us memory. We all have memories. We remember things. We are able to reproduce things. Students are able to reproduce things. Why? That memory is given by the Supreme Lord. But we don't have memory like Prahlad Maharaj or, you know, some other exalted souls. But still, we have that memory. And with that memory, we can always try and remember Krishna. So, this is very, very important. So, forgetfulness of our past lives is a benediction. And our being able to remember what we need to remember is also a benediction. Both are, you know, very, very important benedictions, and we should be really grateful for that. So, but though we may not remember very many things, how many of us remember what we studied, you know, in school or in colleges? For some time you remember, then it completely evaporates. Even if we do not remember material things, there is one thing which the Lord wants always us to remember. He says, Smartavyam satatam Vishnu na visvartavyam jatuchit. So, one thing we should always remember, and that is remember the Supreme Lord Krishna, Lord Vishnu, and never forget Him. These two are basic instructions of the Shastra. And then all other instructions, you know, all the rules, regulatory principles, etayoho kinkaraha. So, others are all servants of this basic instruction that always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. If only we do this also, our life can become very, very successful. So thus, this question that is asked by Arjun and the answer that is being given by Krishna, very beautifully and elaborately explained by Srila Prabhupada in his purport, these definitely establish that we should never ever think that because the Lord has assumed a human form, He is an ordinary human being. Krishna is not an ordinary human being, and no ordinary human being can become Krishna. He is asama urdhva. Nobody can equal Him, nobody can be better than Him. So if we go back home with this conviction also, we have made some improvement in our spiritual life. So I am indeed very grateful to all of you for giving me this opportunity and for your patient hearing of this class. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions? They are there? Any questions or comments? Any questions or comments, please feel free. Anybody has any questions on what was spoken? Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thank you for your kind lecture. A pure devotee who is in transcendental knowledge and who is in exalted stage, he can know about his past births and future births. Krishna says that, says to Arjuna, many births has passed, but I can remember what my past births are taken place, but you cannot. But what I understand that a pure devotee, Arjuna is not at that stage, at that point of time, but a pure devotee, he can remember the past births. Please explain, clarify. Yeah, yeah.
Now, what was being stated is not that a pure devotee remembers, you know, his past birth. That is not being stated. What is being stated here is that a pure devotee understands that
even if the Lord were to, you know, assume different forms, He still is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. A pure devotee will, an unalloyed devotee will recognize that fact. Now, if somebody appears, you know, as a fish, an aquatic species, an ordinary person will think he's a fish. But a devotee will adore and worship that form as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srimad Bhagavatam has elaborate description of Matsya form, Kurma form, Varaha form, as it has elaborate descriptions of the human, you know, projections of the Supreme Lord. Vamandev, Parashuram, Prabhu Ramchandra, all these are also described elaborately. So a pure devotee, actually one who has attained, you know, unalloyed devotional service to the Supreme Lord, he won't come back to this material world. Yad gatvana nivartante. Bhagavad Gita says that, right? So he's not going to come back to this material world unless the Lord wants him in his pastimes. And the Lord does want some of his devotees in his pastimes. That is why we find that many of the personalities who appeared in Krishna Lila also came down, you know, to play pastimes with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So if the Lord wants, then, you know, for different pastimes, all these personalities will come. Yeah? Have I made myself clear? Any other question? Anybody else? Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. Yeah.